open for hundreds and hundreds of buildings in Copenhagen, you know, where every single window is a threat, you know, or every single roof is a threat if you fear some kind of attack. You know, somebody with a bazooka or a missile, Stinger missile or whatever, could be placed anywhere. So security-wise, from that angle, very, very bad. And the hotel is, first there's the canal, then there's the hotel, then there's one of the main streets going through Copenhagen. Also, when it comes to security, very badly chosen, because any car that passes can be a potential threat, you know, hand grenades, bazooka, you name it, these type of weapons. Then on the other side of the main street is a big open space, like a parking space, a gravelled area that the police headquarters use as their parking space. And then on the other side of that is the headquarters of the Danish police for Copenhagen. This area was totally fenced in, and that is where they wanted the truth movement in. And the truth movement was more or less let in there. You couldn't get in there. You could only get into that area in a very specific way to follow some specific streets in there. And this was aimed in the direction for the train station. So it was almost like, you know, when you have sheep and you need to get them to go in a certain direction,
you were
get in,
corralled into there.
corralled into it. That's the exact word of it. And on the sides of this parking area, there were high buildings as well, which is security-wise a no-no. It's very difficult to control these, lots of windows. But these buildings were insurance companies and banks, controlled and owned by members of the elite. So when I came there, I found it so odd that there was no security. There was only like these two Danish police officers standing on the side of the hotel, nothing else. But then, because I was almost doubting that this was the correct hotel, you know, because like, how is this possible? But then I saw right in front of the entrance, they had parked three black Mercedeses with tinted windows, the exact type of vehicles that this Bilderberg Group are famous for. So it was almost like they put like a note in the window saying, "Yes, we are here. You are correct. We are here." It was that obvious, you know. So I started looking around and I thought, this is so odd. This is so odd because, I mean, these people are very intelligent and they got the top level of the security advisors, military advisors that they normally use. So why on earth have they picked this hotel? So I thought option one, just like you say, maybe it was a decoy. Maybe it's a decoy. They set it up, you know, they're going to send in some limos with doubles, you know, put on some hairdo, a wig or something like that. Oh, that's Queen Beatrix. Oh, that's Queen Sophia. Get them in there. You get the whole truth movement into the fenced-in area on the other side of the street so that you can totally control that. And then at the same time, they would meet in an army base or another hotel somewhere in Denmark, maybe a castle, or maybe in a totally different country, you know. But they would see that the whole truth movement were there, blah, 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 control them, and we'll get away with our agenda without nobody sticking their nose into it. But when the more I looked at it, the more I thought, it's like this, why this hotel? Why wouldn't they just pick any hotel that looked like one of the normal ones as a decoy and then meet somewhere else? But this was so different. So I thought, okay, with the mindset of them, I started looking upon the area from a different point of view. And then suddenly it hit me. Oh my God. Oh my God. This would be the perfect stage for a false flag massacre. A place where they, in one single blow, could knock out the truth movement globally. You know, problem, reaction, solution. What they could do, and I walked around and I just thought, okay, if I were them, this is what I would do. I would place film crews in the buildings, on the surrounding buildings that I control, you know, so that there would be coverage from all different angles. I would have aerial photo with helicopters that were there. I would put a film crew down the streets with a wide angle so that it would cover both the area where the truth movement was gathered and the side of the hotel, you know, and the street in the middle. What I then would do, I would gather the truth movement, push them into this corral, you know, get hopefully a couple of thousand in there. At the same time, I would send in some limos with doubles, so that two Smooth would be tricked into believing, yes, they are in there. But the whole idea is that the building itself would be totally empty otherwise, but filled with explosives, you know.
Okay.
Explosives aimed to be blown straight forward, not out to the sides and damaging the buildings on the sides of this parking area. The whole thing aimed to blow straight forward on top of the whole Truce Movement. Okay. So the whole idea was to blame the Truce Movement for this terror act. So what I would do, I would get some provocateurs into the crowd. A handful would be enough.
Yeah.
You know, get some people in there, get them shouting, screaming, throwing things, maybe throw a Molotov cocktail or two, you know, get the whole energy stirring up. And if that didn't work, then I would send in another team of provocateurs, some of them dressed in Danish police uniforms, some of them as looking as choosers, you know. So
yeah.
They would arrest a couple of them and then drag them right in front of the whole crowd on the other side of the fence, you know, maybe beating them up a bit so that the whole crowd would go wild, like, oh my God, let him go. Stir up the energy, okay? And then once that was done, when the whole crowd was going wild, suddenly, boom, you blow the whole front of the building out on top of the Truth Movement. You would have smoke, you would have blown up bodies and blood everywhere. And then the media, these images would be pumped out of media straight away saying, oh my God, this Truth Movement, here they are, you know, they say they're working for a better peaceful world and look what they've done. They massacred this poor little innocent elite group who was just meeting for a tea and a biscuit, you know. Poor people, look at what they've done. And then they would use that to demonize the Truth Movement, using it to ban all rights to protest, all rights to demonstrate, to censor the internet, to shut down alternative media, radio stations like this, because this is where this type of information that led to that awful terror act is being spread, you know. So when I saw that, I also just want to say, if it follows the template, what they would, the choice of building would be because that building would have some kind of major structural problem, maybe a crack in the foundation because it was too close to the water, maybe asbestos or fungus or something like that. And then instead of having to pay this major amount to rebuild the whole thing, they would change the insurance policy to include terror acts that would have been done just a few weeks before the actual event. And then in the explosion as well, to get credibility, they would need a list of dead people from inside the hotel. But these would be mostly bodyguards, security people, people in the kitchen, cleaners, and then they would throw in a few old Bilderbergers just to get the credibility going. These would be members that they had problems with anyway.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I thought, oh my God, am I imagining this, or could this really be a planned setup? So what I did was I went straight home to a friend of mine who had internet access, and I called a friend of mine, this Chip Tatum. I mentioned him, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
I did. He's a former, like I said before, he's a whistleblower, but he's a former deep cover CIA agent for 25 years, a Night Stalker pilot, a black op assassin, and he was the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private team of hitmen called Pegasus, and they were sent globally to take out a lot of people. He was also part of some false flag operations during his career. So I called him and I said, listen, Chip, please help me out here because I've got a very eerie feeling about this place. So he said, okay, please describe it to me. I described it just as I did to you. He said, okay, describe the protection from the water side. I said, he said, are there any military vessels? Were there divers in the water? Anything like that? I said, zero, absolute zero. The only thing they were doing was they were starting to build like a concrete wall around the whole hotel to keep the Truth Movement out. He said, sounds very, very suspicious. He said, did you see any signs of like packages or maybe odd parking meters in the truth, where the truth movement was about both together, anything like that that could be that would could have explosives inside it, you know, because if you do a thing like that, you need secondary explosives in the location to really make the get the job done, you know.
Okay.
That will also be smoke bombs and maybe canisters of theater blood, you know, these plastic bags that would be that would just explode to give more you know, a more horrendous image of the whole thing.
Okay.
He said, please get out of there. This is a very plausible setup. So get out and be aware of strange people. I think he said wires, cables, weird sounds, and these things. I said, okay, thank you so much. I called up Jim Fetzer, Professor Jim Fetzer, who's, he's a former Marine and, somebody who spent his whole entire adult life, more or less, when it comes to uncover false flag operation, 9/11, JFK, these type of things. He's a world-renowned expert in these areas. I explained the exact same thing. He said, it sounds so much like a possible false flag. I contacted another guy with 27 years or 24 years in security services in the States. He said, it stinks. It really sounds like you're spot on. So after getting that confirmed, so it wasn't just my suspicion, what I did was I contacted a handful of radio stations globally, New Zealand, Canada, the States, England, Ireland, some countries in Europe and so on. And what I did was I got them to record the date and time when this was recorded, and I just explained the whole thing that I feared was being set up. And if, God forbid, this would be pulled off, that it would be known that it was not the truth movement, but a total inside job aimed at totally demonizing the truth movement.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose was even more to get it out globally during the night so that they would be aware of that we were, that we saw them, that the spotlight was on them, so that if they pulled the trigger, we would know, you know, that they were, you know. So I spent until 4 o'clock in the morning with these radio stations. Then the very next morning when I went down and when I came to the parking lot, do you know what I found there?
Go on.
I found a 6 meter big pentagram made of train sleepers.
Okay.
Right in the area where the truth movement was supposed to meet. I mean, can you imagine an aerial photo? You know, the hotel explodes, there's smoke, there's bombs, there's blown up bodies. And right in the center of this, there's this massive big pentagram.
Wow.
Can you see that image being spread?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also one of the things they do beforehand.
So do you feel you stopped it from happening by going to all those different media outlets and people and telling them about it?
Sean, I don't know. The only thing I know is that nothing happened. And I'm so, so grateful to these radio hosts and so on. They were so fast to react and get it out there.
Mm.
I must say, without polishing my glory, my own halo, I do very much believe on what these other experts said, that it is very, very possible that this was what was planned. You know, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. The whole setup did not make sense for a normal Bilderberg meeting. It did not make sense for a decoy hotel.
No.
It made perfect sense for a false flag. Why did they choose that place? You know?
Yeah.
The reason I say this is not to boost my own ego, but to, I think it's so important that the more normal people can become aware of how these templates are being pulled off, how they're being set up, how they're being done as film sets almost, you know, like many of these mass shootings and so on, they're staged event, even with actors. You can go to crisisactor.org in the States where they hire people, you know, as actors and so on. And
it really is quite real. I mean, there are people that were at Sandy Hook and then they were seen again at various other places.
I know, they even, it's so bad, it's so badly done, you know, they're blown up in one terror act, the next time they're witnessed, then they're dead there than, you know, the same sheriff in three different states.
I just can't believe how the normal run-of-the-mill populace can't see this.
They've done it for decades and been able to pull it off. I mean, so no wonder they think we're totally brain dead. You know, we're letting them get away with it.
Right.
We should have, you know, a plane hits Pentagon. The hole is the size of a missile. they say that the whole plane vaporized.
Listen, Ollie, I just tell people who tell me that they believe the media bullshit. I just tell them, okay, that's grand. So America, one of the biggest nations, technologically advanced nations in the world, didn't know a plane was in their airspace. Okay, fair enough. Because really, that's it.
If you take the Pentagon plane, you know, the official story is that it hit the building, the wings folded along the body, and then the whole plane went in there and vaporized due to high heat. And the 2 6-ton engines made of different metals that cannot melt unless 6,000 Celsius or more vaporized. It's like me saying, do you know,
it's laughable.
I come home and I've lost the car because I was drunk, and I tell my wife that I'm sorry, I reversed into the wall and it vaporized. it's the same thing. And we buy it. So,
well, we don't, Ollie. You know, people have been buying it and they need to stop buying it, you know?
Many of these conspiracies are absolute no-brainers when you look into them. Yeah. Then it's just a matter of how did they do it, you know?
It's amazing. So listen, Ollie, you've just pulled off, after I don't know how many interviews today, as you said, another 3-hour interview here on an Irish station going out peoplesinternetradio.com to the globe. So, I want to thank you so, so much for staying on that extra hour and saving my blushes that people can't see on the radio. From poor old Max, I'm sure he's had a nice lie in, and he's a lovely guy. I know there must be something. I hope it's nothing bad. I hope it is just that his alarm clock didn't go off or whatever. Ollie Damagard, you are more than welcome to come on my show whenever you wish to share anything you wish. Okay. I've had many, many guests who've come on again and again and again when they have as much positivity and as much information to share as you have, Ollie.
I tell you, Sean, anytime you tell me when you want, I'm right there.
Okay, well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank everybody listening in the chat room, especially people who come into the chat room, into peoplesinternetradio.com. All you guys out there listening on Facebook, on your Androids, on your iPhones, with the apps that you have, and all the other places that you can see it. Don't forget, my website is www.outofthebagradio.weebly.com. And let's not forget that we have www.lightonconspiracies.com, which you definitely need to have a look at. It's one of those that you want to bookmark and have a look at again and again. Keep up with Ollie's work, and give me a shout when you want him back on my show as well. Ollie, it was fantastic having you on the show at very short notice for me. I wanted to read your book. I usually read the people's book before they come on the show. And when I saw it a couple of days ago and it was over 1,000 pages long, I thought I got no chance of reading in time. So
I just want to say that the membership area on my website, I was targeted a while ago because I named 2 serial killers that has been some of the worst serial killers of all times. I would say they've got about 1,000 people on their hit list each. Their names are Walter Tobinski and Clyde Forshaw, both of them from Toronto. And they've been used by the American government and the Canadian government, plus the CIA, since the early 60s. They've been involved in many of the major assassinations and the cleanup, you know, when there's so many witnesses and so many people around these conspiracies that have died very unfortunate. And these are people that have been very active in doing that. I started naming them on different shows because there was a female witness by the name of Haley Otis that had incredible information about them and had the incredible courage of coming forward with it.
Now that they were the information I got from your Jim Fetzer interviews, and Didn't she have her own radio show at one point?
She did indeed, but under a different name.
A pseudonym, right.
Yeah, a pseudonym. But it was to keep her alive. And to this day, if anything happens to Haley Otis in Toronto, it will be Clyde Forshaw or Walter Tobinski. You know, track gotcha. These guys. And but after that, my website was absolutely hammered. And I don't know what they did to it, but I've had major problems with it since then. Now it's up and running on Chip Tatum's server. But the membership area, I just need a day or two to get it up and running. So if there's any links not working, I know it and I'm yeah. on it.
Yeah, because I actually contacted you and said, listen, I can't hear a couple of these videos because it says no file found, etc. But look, we're here. I've winged it a little bit. My apologies for my ignorance on a few of the things you were coming out with, Ollie. But do you know what? You've done an absolutely fantastic job and we wish you to continue doing what you're doing. So all the support you get doing what you're doing, all the support we get on People's Internet Radio, getting people like you on our shows to tell them what you're doing is what we want to do. So I'm going to have to close it now because I'm not quite sure. We might have cancelled the cabal immediately after me. I haven't been told otherwise. I might have to drop the stream, Ollie. So I love you. I think the work you're doing is fantastic. Welcome to Out of the Bag, and I hope you're not going to be a stranger to us in the future. As you said, you won't be. To you guys all out there listening, thank you so much. I am going to finish off with another Asia Fields track. I did have two more to play, but Ollie was so good I didn't want to interrupt him too many times.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's fantastic. Anyone that can outspeak me is pretty fucking cool in my book. So listen, you won't have another poem till the next time you're on. This is Asia Fields. Good night, everybody, from Out of the Bag on peoplesinternetradio.com. We love you. This is Asia Fields and Switch. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
But you still